Our study tonight is out of Jeremiah chapter 26, verses 1 through 24. God's protection of his obediently courageous prophet. When God called Jeremiah to his prophetic ministry, he predicted that Jeremiah would be opposed by the entire nation. But that Jeremiah was to trust God to protect and enable him credibly to withstand his foes. But, however, were Jeremiah to cower in fear before his enemies, undermining the credibility of his character and preaching of God's word, God would punish him by causing him to be dismayed before his foes. It's interesting, God says, don't you be dismayed at them, because if you get dismayed at them, I'll dismay you. It's very important for a messenger of the Lord not to cower in fear, because his credibility goes out the window if that happens. If he ministers the word, you have to stand your ground and be courageous, otherwise you lose credibility. So Jeremiah 26, 1 to 24 records incidents where Jeremiah courageously faced foes, in contrast to another prophet who had the same message as Jeremiah, but with the resulting contrast in God's blessing being a big lesson for us. So I'd like to read the passage, and then we'll look at it. It's a whole chapter here. It's one huge literary unit. Jeremiah chapter 26, beginning of verse 1. In the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, came this word of the Lord, saying, thus saith the Lord, stand on the court of the Lord's house, and speak unto all the cities of Judah, which come to worship in the Lord's house, all the words that I command thee. To speak unto them, diminish not a word. If so be, they will hearken, and they will every man turn from his evil way, that I may repent me of the calamity which I purpose to do unto them because of the evil of their doings. And thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord, if you will not hearken to me, to walk before my law which I have set before you, to hearken to the words of my servants the prophets, to whom I sent unto you, both rising up early and sending them, but ye have not hearkened, then will I make this house like Shiloh, and will make this city a curse to all the nations of the earth. So the priests and the prophets and all the people heard Jeremiah speaking these words in the house of the Lord. Now it came to pass, when Jeremiah had made an end of speaking all that the Lord had commanded him to speak unto all the people, that the priests and the prophets and all the people took him, saying, thou shalt surely die. Why hast thou prophesied in the name of the Lord, saying, this house shall be like Shiloh, and this city shall be desolate without an inhabitant? And all the people were gathered against Jeremiah in the house of the Lord. When the princes of Judah heard these things, when they came up from the king's house unto the house of the Lord, and sat down in the entry of the new gate of the Lord's house, then spake the priests and the prophets unto the princes and to all the people, saying, this man is worthy to die, for he has prophesied against this city, as you have heard with your ears. Then spoke Jeremiah unto all the princes and to all the people, saying, the Lord sent me to prophesy against this house and against this city all the words that you have heard. Therefore now amend your ways and your doings, and obey the voice of the Lord your God, and the Lord will repent him of the calamity that he had pronounced against you. As for me, behold, I am in your hand. Do with me as seems good and meet to you. But know you for certain that if you put me to death, you shall surely bring innocent blood upon yourselves and upon this city, and upon the inhabitants thereof. For of a truth the Lord hath sent me unto you to speak all these words in your ears. Then said the princes and all the people unto the priests and to the prophets, this man is not worthy to die, for he has spoken to us in the name of the Lord our God. Then rose up certain of the elders of the land and spoke to all the assembly of the people, saying, Micah, the Moreshite, prophesied in the days of Hezekiah, king of Judah, and spoke to all the people of Judah, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, Zion shall be plowed like a field, Jerusalem shall become heaps, and the mountain of the house as the high places of a forest. Did Hezekiah, king of Judah, and all Judah put him at all to death? Did he not revere the Lord and besought the Lord, and the Lord repented him of the calamity which he pronounced against them? Thus might we procure great calamity against our souls. Now there was also a man that prophesied in the name of the Lord, Elijah the son of Shemaiah of Kiriath-Jearim, who prophesied against this city and against this land according to all the words of Jeremiah. And when Jehoiakim the king, with all his mighty men and all the princes, heard his words, the king sought to put him to death. But when Urijah heard it, he was afraid and fled and went into Egypt.
And Jehoiakim the king sent men into Egypt, namely Elnathan the son of Achbor, and certain men with him into Egypt. And they fetched forth Urijah out of Egypt and brought him unto Jehoiakim the king, who slew him with a sword and cast his dead body into the graves of the common people. Nevertheless, the hand of Ahikam the son of Shaphan was with Jeremiah, that they should not give him into the hand of the people to put him to death.
Wow. Those were exciting times. Not easy times, but exciting times. God protected his obediently courageous prophet by obeying God in his call as a prophet, courageously to withstand his foes. God protected Jeremiah. At the start of the reign of Jehoiakim, who was the son of Josiah, and remember, Josiah was the king that had responded positively to God's word when he heard it preached in 2 Kings chapter 22. The Lord told Jeremiah to go proclaim in the temple the need for Judah's people to repent in accordance with the warnings of his many other prophets, or God would make the temple a pile of ruins and the city of Jerusalem a curse, as had occurred in Shiloh, where the tabernacle had formerly stood. Shiloh had been one of the first places where the temple, where the tabernacle had stood. Actually, they didn't have a temple there. Had the tabernacle. And since then, the Philistines had flattened the area, apparently in the days of Saul, and they had destroyed the whole town of Shiloh there. And so God was warning here, just as I destroyed the place where the tabernacle had been, I'll destroy this place unless you repent. Well, after the priests, the false prophets, and the people heard Jeremiah give this message, they laid hold of him, saying that he would surely die for preaching on the possible future destruction of their temple and the city. This would have been dramatic. You had the people of the area who had come to worship. The temple site was huge, and it was flooded with people at this time, and you've got the priests there, and you've got the false prophets. Everybody is against Jeremiah. They want to kill him right now. So this dear man of God faced it. The civil officials heard of this arrest in the temple, so they came up from the palace, which was just down to the south of the king of the temple, and they took their seat of the judgment at the entry of the new gate in the temple. I don't know where this new gate was. Solomon's temple has been destroyed, but it might have been the gate on the east side that opens up to the what is now known as the Mount of Olives to the east. I don't know. The priests and the prophets told the officials and the crowd present that Jeremiah deserved to die because he prophesied against the city. But what's amazing here is that instead of cowering, even though you had this throng of people who wanted to kill him, Jeremiah courageously provided a threefold defense of his actions. Now it's interesting, in Jeremiah 1, God says, I'm with you to make your forehead like a wall of bronze. In other words, I'm going to make you tough, but you've got to trust me. So at this point, the Lord was making him tough, and he stood up against the people. And this is what he said. First, he claimed that he was not a false prophet, but a true prophet of the Lord, that God had sent them to them to deliver the message that he proclaimed to them. He was saying, you might not like the message, but guess what? I am a prophet of God. This is a message from God, and I'm telling it to you. A false prophet wouldn't do that. He would try to do everything he could to appease the people. A true prophet is willing to give his life and lay his life on the line. So this spoke of the credibility of Jeremiah. Second, Jeremiah added that were they to repent, God would not send the predicted disaster. In other words, he's showing that, they didn't like the message that he predicted, that there would be destruction for the city of Jerusalem. But Jeremiah said, it's not a done deal. If you repent, God will recant the judgment that he's destined against you. And then third, Jeremiah added that he was in the hands of his foes, that they could do with him what they wanted, but that if they executed him, they would surely bring God's wrath upon themselves because he was an innocent man that God had truly sent to speak the message that he had given to them. Now, this is very, very courageous on Jeremiah's part, but there's also a promise, and I didn't mention this. There's a promise that God gave him back in Jeremiah chapter 1 when he first called him. In verse 19, God is speaking to Jeremiah, and he said, they, that's the people of Judah, they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee, for I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. So the Lord was saying, they're not going to be able to prevail against you. I will deliver you. And I think Jeremiah had this in mind. He didn't know how it was going to happen, but the Lord had promised to deliver him. So he was believing that. And that's, of course, would have enabled him to be bold. Well, the officials decided that Jeremiah should not die. And that verdict was supported by some elders who cited the prophet Micah. And incidentally, this is right out of Micah chapter 3, verse 12. Who had made similar statements about Jerusalem's fall 70 years before Jeremiah. That they told how King Hezekiah had not slain Micah, but repented so that God had not judged the city. So these elders warned the people. And remember, in a patristic culture, elderly men like this were highly respected. These elders warned the people that they were about to bring disaster on themselves if they either slew Jeremiah or did not heed his message, one that was verified by the past prophet Micah. In other words, Micah had prophesied, and Hezekiah had listened to him and repented, and nothing bad had happened. And that was evidence that Micah was teaching the truth. Well, if Micah was teaching the truth 70 years before, Jeremiah might well be teaching the truth. So the elders said, be careful. And these elders, they would have been alive at the time. They probably were 80, 90 years of age, and they would have remembered Micah. However, by fleeing from his foes, another prophet with Jeremiah's same message was slain. Another prophet by the name of Uriah the son of Shemaiah from Kiriath-Jearim, which would have been just to the north, I believe, of Jerusalem. He also prophesied of the destruction of Jerusalem and Judah, using words similar to Jeremiah's words of judgment for sin. It's interesting, verse 20. We're told this. Let me get that here again. Verse 20. And this man prophesied against this city and against this land according to all the words of Jeremiah. He gave the same message. But notice, he didn't take a stand. When King Jehoiakim, with all his soldiers and officials, heard Uriah speak, the king sought to put him to death. And Uriah, unlike Jeremiah, did not courageously stand his ground, but he fled all the way down to Egypt. Now, Egypt's quite a ways away, right? It's another territory, another jurisdiction. However, his fear undermined the credibility of Uriah's message in person, so God did not protect him. Jehoiakim sent men down into Egypt to capture Uriah, to bring him back to Judah, where Jehoiakim had him slain with a sword. And his body was disgracefully dumped in the burial plot of the common people. Same message, all right? And he might have been a prophet of God, but instead of standing your ground, he ran. So he ended up dead. However, even after the death of Uriah, who had preached the same message as Jeremiah, since Jeremiah had courageously stood his ground in obedience to his Jeremiah 1:17 calling, God used Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, who had earlier helped good King Josiah, the grandfather of Jehoiakim, 2 Kings chapter 22, the father of King Jehoiakim, 2 Kings 22, 12 to 20. And he kept Jeremiah from being executed. Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, was one of the three men who, at the request of King Josiah, good King Josiah, had gone and they found a prophetess by the name of Huldah in the 6th ward, the poor district in the city of Jerusalem. And she had mentioned, since Josiah had repented, that the Lord would not bring the disaster on the city of Jerusalem in his day, but would wait until after Josiah had died and then send this punishment. So this is a good man, but this good man who was an official protected Jeremiah. He didn't protect the other guy who'd fled, but he did protect Jeremiah. So though Uriah preached the same message that Jeremiah did on the destruction of the temple, the destruction of Jerusalem, the fall of Judah, unless the people repented, since Uriah then fled from his foes, he undermined his credibility. So God did not protect him, so that his foes captured, executed, and buried him in disgrace. However, since Jeremiah obeyed God by courageously standing his ground, maintaining the credibility of his call and message, God protected him. Huge lesson here. If God calls us to a ministry, it might be a teaching ministry, It might be a ministry where God assigns us to witness to an individual. It might be, who knows, different kinds of ministry. If he calls us to a ministry, may we courageously withstand opposition to that ministry to clarify the credibility of our calling in the ministry before others, if we would expect God to bless us in that ministry. If we don't stand our ground, if we cower in fear, there's nothing from a human perspective that can convince the people that, first of all, God called us, and secondly, that we're actually doing the work of God. You know, there's a verse in Proverbs that says, the wicked flee when no man pursueth, because they're paranoid, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. One of the ways you can tell a difference between a person who has a good conscience and one who doesn't is what they do when they face pressure. The righteous are bold. They'll stand their ground. The wicked don't. The wicked will flee, and they're paranoid. Even if no one's chasing them, they're afraid to run. So that's something to keep in mind. God really wants his people to obey him. And if we are convinced that God has led us, and if God indeed has led us and provided for us just to get into the very ministry that he wants us to get into, we have nothing to fear. All we have to do is obey God. And our welfare is in God's hands. That's his business. We're not supposed to be concerned about our welfare if we're serving the Lord. Just serve the Lord and do so courageously and see what God does.